Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to Sound Insight. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Yes, I'm still walking the Camino, walking the way, and I do very much appreciate your prayers. Your prayers accompany me. Your prayers sustain me. Your prayers give me strength when I'm weak, when I'm struggling. And conversely, I'm praying for you, and I continue to seek the face of the Lord. And on this journey, you're going to get a couple of different days that I was walking and get a review of those and hopefully be blessed by those insights. All right, back in a minute with the prayer and then the sharings.
Sound Insight is grateful for its sponsors. Western Washington Coalition for Life has a mission to end abortion in Washington State through peaceful and prayerful means by being the hands and feet of Christ to everyone entering an abortion facility. WWCFL knows where there is life, there is hope. Engage at WWCFL.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for loving us, for taking care of us and blessing us. I thank you, God, for the generosity and mutuality, Lord, of being able to walk together in faith in this moment in history. Lord, thank you for the share-a-thon last week and for the blessings of so many who called in and made a contribution. I just ask you to bless them, Lord, and just give us that grace to understand the stewardship that's ours. Lord, give us the grace to understand each step of the journey and the different tasks that fall our way. Lord, we don't always understand your will, but we know that you are providential in your care. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your providential care in the little things of life, Lord, even when we don't understand the way these things unfold. And Lord, I also thank you for open doors, that you give us opportunities to step forward in faith. And Lord, help us not to miss those opportunities. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I used the word opportunity there in the prayer, and I did so intentionally because going on the Camino wasn't like some specific goal that I went after. It wasn't some kind of internal like demand that I had to do, right? So it wasn't on a bucket list. It wasn't some like next level challenge. And neither was it something that, you know, in your inner life, sometimes you'll have a sense of an imperative, like I must do this. I didn't have that sense. I didn't feel like that the Lord was saying, if I don't walk the Camino, that somehow I'm betraying the Lord and what he has for me. Instead, it was that there would be blessings that were available to me. There were going to be gifts and graces that would come into my life and into my family's life if I was willing to do it. And so I'm so grateful to the Lord for giving me the grace needed to be able to say yes to that opportunity. And I pray that you'd also discern that. All right, go and enjoy these reflections on my Camino.
Hey, welcome back to the journey of my hiking the Camino. And so here I am on day 11, going from Quintanilla del Monte to Atapuerco. And I talked a lot about hospitality and the gift of hospitality and that stewardship of relationships. And sometimes that stewardship is related to for instance, as a husband to Carrie, there's a stewardship in that relationship. And then God grants us the gift of children. We don't choose what they're going to be like, right? God gives us the gift of these children. And then for those of you that are grandparents, there are grandchildren involved. And there's a stewardship that's involved in those relationships. That's going to come in at the end. I'm going to tell the story of a guy that I met. He actually was staying at that same hostel last night. And he ended up staying in the same town that I ended up at. And we ended up having dinner together because I wandered into the little restaurante where he was. And we ended up having a really interesting conversation that I'm going to talk to you about. It has to do with stewardship of relationships and the impact that they can have on your life, and that they for negative as well as positive. And then sometimes the call that we have to be courageous in engaging in the relationships that are ours. That's a gift that shouldn't be taken for granted. And that theme played itself out today, where I ended up bumping back into two women. We get into this conversation about, why are you here? What are you doing? And both of them had left their husbands at home, and both of them were empty nesters. And both of them were now at this stage in their lives where they were trying to get a sense of, Lord, what should we do with the time that remains? And what struck me was this, was two things, is that these two women really and truly were walking this Camino out of a sense of good to great. Good to great. They weren't broken people trying to get well. They are people who had a foundation that was strong, it was clear, it was rooted in faith, it was rooted in the Lord, and they were really walking this saying, Lord, what do you have for us now? And only occasionally am I bumping into people who are in the sense of, I'm principally whole, and I'm trying to get to that next place, trying to even advance to that next place, Lord, that you have for me in my life. One of the things that have helped, that helped these women to have such a good solid foundation, was their friendship. And they were it was obvious, so natural and beautiful, the friendship that the Lord had given to them. It was a very powerful stewardship. The stewardship that they had in caring for each other and walking together. What is interesting is that this corresponded in my Camino with listening to a talk by Father Tom Forrest. Father Tom Forrest, a Redemptorist priest, a missionary, someone who was very involved at international levels of leadership in the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and then was the international director and founder of Evangelization 2000, had a profound impact on my life. I had the privilege and the gift of first associating with one of the initiatives of Evangelization 2000 in the late 80s and the early 90s. And then when I ended up going to study for my PhD at Catholic University, it was a couple hundred yards away from the office of Evangelization 2000. And I ended up taking a job with Evangelization 2000, where I got to work directly for Father Tom Forrest. And being able to have him as a leader, a mentor, a guide, he gave me the gift of forging in me ways of looking at things, attitudes, and ways of living that continue to impact my life today. It was not always an easy gift to receive. He was strong and decisive, and he chiseled away things in me that were holding me back from getting to that next place, that next level in my own life as a Catholic evangelist, as someone attempting to be a leader in the field of Catholic evangelization. The things that he opened to me, the relationships, the connections, the opportunities that came because of him were enormous. And one of the gifts that he ended up giving to Carrie and me was he presided at our wedding and preached at our wedding. In fact, one of the reasons our church was full first was because Carrie's mom basically cast the net really wide and inviting people to our very homespun wedding. The reception was in the hall of the church where we got married. And it was a family affair of getting that place decorated and a table set and food made. It was exhausting. The other reason was Father Tom was preaching and people heard. And so people came to our wedding just to hear Father Tom give the homily and hopefully have a chance to meet him. He went home to God about 10 years ago, maybe a little less than that. But one of the biggest ways that he impacted me was his preaching. He was really the best pure preacher I ever heard. And by that, I meant that his teaching didn't involve a lot of humor that was stories or kind of jokes. No, he had a capacity to speak spiritual truths, weaving in scripture and church teaching, the principles of the life of faith that just flowed from his life. It just radiated. These words carried such weight and impact. And the Lord had given him a gift that he had refined and had grown through the decades. Very powerful. Well, it hadn't dawned on me to think, oh, while I'm walking along, if I need some inspiration, let me see if I can find a talk by Father Tom Forrest. Well, it bubbled up. And one of the reasons this fits so naturally is that one of the themes of my Camino is go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. Remember from Luke 5, Peter's, he's cleaning his nets. They haven't caught anything. Jesus gets in the boat and he's preaching from the boat. And then after he's done preaching, he says to Peter, go out into the deep, lower your nets for a catch. I've reflected on that already. Well, this theme, as it was bubbling up in my mind this day, it naturally went to Evangelization 2000 because that was the scriptural motto and the image of Evangelization 2000, lower your nets for a catch, go out into the deep. And so I thought of Father Tom, I looked it up, and sure enough, I got to hear Father Tom give a talk. I only found a couple, shockingly. And actually, it gets my mind going for potentially being able to get more of his talks available because he would have just a continued impact on the life of the church. But he gave a very powerful talk on courage and the Holy Spirit giving courage to speak the truth. So I had a beautiful experience of stewardship, of relationship, while I was walking that day before I met up with these two women. In this instance, it was a past stewardship of Father Tom in my life. And so I prayed for Father Tom and thanked the Lord for the gift of Father Tom during that day, Father Tom Forrest, and ended up asking him to pray for me. And just had a sense of him accompanying me in prayer as I was striving to go out into the deep and lower my nets for a catch on this Camino. And then I met these two ladies. Well, there's a final story of stewardship, and it has to do with finally arriving back at the arriving at my next town, and getting into the place where I was staying. This was going to be the first day that I stayed in an albergo, like in a dormitory setting. And I asked the fellow when I got there, do you have a private room? And he did. He had a private room that wasn't available on the internet, but he had one. And so I was like, please pick me. And so I was able to have a private room and bathroom, which just, again, at this point, I think that might change in the couple of weeks that remain. But it was more peaceful for me because I was so tired. To be able to just spread out a bit is such a gift. And I'm limited. I'm a limited guy. You have to forgive me for that. But that night I had a chance to, again, I'm like, let me go get something to eat. There were only a couple restaurants open. I walked up to one, and sure enough, here's this fellow from the night before at the place where he had stayed. So we sat down and we started talking, and I felt sad, and the theme of courage came up. The reason I got sad was that he had shared with me the day before that he had taught in a Catholic college for like over 20 years, for many, many years in his career. He wasn't teaching in the religion department, but still teaching at a Catholic college and being around the life of this Catholic college for decades. He also was brought up Catholic, but he was no longer Catholic. What was he? Started to ask him. And he actually was a very vague, not very profoundly expressible mishmash of beliefs. And what was striking to me was that he was successful as a professor and in a consulting career in the financial world, where there is a tremendous need for precision and depth of understanding and clarity and the ability to articulate that clarity and to carry things forward. But when it came time for him to express what he actually believed about God and ultimate things, it was really, honestly, an unreflective mishmash of things. And I asked him the question, how is it warranted? Like, what are your warrants for believing this? Because I was saying, you know, you stepped away from the Catholic faith, and what gives you a sense of a warrant for believing these things about God? He didn't have an answer. He didn't necessarily appreciate the pushback, but his basic answer was, well, it's what I choose to believe, and you choose to believe what you choose to believe. And I said, well, I've got warrants for why I believe what I believe. I said, it's Jesus Christ, it's the scriptures, it's the credibility of revelation, it's the historical basis of the reality of the scriptures to provide me with an understanding. And what was interesting was that I think he could have understood some of those things, but he was not budging. He was not budging off of his mishmash of like weakly formed concepts in his own mind about the ultimate matter, meaning of things. But that wasn't the reason I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing it up because of two things. How did he end up in that condition? How did he end up in that place where he went from being brought up Catholic, living his Catholic faith, to now in this mishmashy world? And the answer was a philosophy student. He worked while he was in college at a place where he would have many hours just doing kind of menial work. And one of his coworkers was a philosophy student who was clever, sharp. And this clever, sharp philosophy student knew how to question and put into question to undermine the basis of his belief. And so his beliefs in Catholicism and Christianity and God himself became weakened at the foundations. So much so that he ended up surrendering this incredible patrimony of faith because of this relationship. Relationships, the ones that we allow to influence our lives, really matter. I think about the gift of Father Tom in my life, the gift of that relationship where he was a boss, but had a very fatherly impact on my life. Very fatherly, in fact. I think one time as I walked into his office, I called him dad. It just slipped out. And it was that his way of relating to me was so fatherly that it just in an unreflective moment, I said that out loud. I don't know if he heard it or not. He never referenced it, but very powerful that the influence on my life. I think of these two women I walked and the powerful influence they had to help them stay the course together. What an incredibly important gift that they were to each other. I think of a comment from a fellow seminarian of mine who became a bishop in Bend, Oregon. He said one time as we were walking, he said, one of my mentors said to me, be careful to whom you open your mind. Be careful to whom you open your mind, because the one you open your mind to is going to shape how you see things. Well, unfortunately, this fellow wasn't as careful about the one to whom he opened his mind, this philosopher, you know, how many college kids have these, you know, philosophical debates, and then the things that they were told when they were brought up, all of a sudden they get put into question. And if they're not deeply held or formed in a way that's profound in their mind or in their heart or in their life, all of a sudden it gets washed away. And that's what happened here. And what a sadness that this fellow has lived his life without the joy, without the meaning, without the purpose, without the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his purpose and plan for his own life. Well, this has an impact too, because he has a daughter, and his daughter has a daughter. He has two grandchildren from that daughter, and one of them is struggling mightily. And it comes out in the dinner that his granddaughter is struggling mightily with self-harm and cutting herself. And his daughter, her mom, is at a bit of a loss of what to do. And so he admits that one of his burdens that he's carrying and one of the reasons why he's walking the Camino is for that girl's sake. And, you know, I said, I will definitely pray for her every day. I encourage you to pray for that young lady, that 12-year-old girl, poor, sweet, innocent 12-year-old girl who is not only cutting herself out of who knows what kind of interior pain or desire to overcome that pain through the sick pleasure that can come from cutting or the connection she has to others that make her feel like she belongs in those actions. And that she's also being influenced because of social media and because of the circle that she is engaged with, that her own sense of peaceful sexual identity as a woman, as a young lady, is also being put into question. And that's starting to bubble up as well. And this grandfather of this granddaughter is at a loss, and he is hurting, and he has such a longing for this young lady to be freed from those two burdens and the path that she's on. And so I said, well, what have you done? Have you spoken into her life? Have you attempted to get more engaged and involved in her life to help her be able to find a place where she can share about the sources of these things and be able to help overcome some of these other relationships that are influencing her, stewardship of relationships, the girls that she's with, her peers, that are having her feel a sense of belonging in paths that are dark and twisted and they're going to lead her to self-destruction. And he said, oh, no, I wouldn't ever speak into her life without my daughter's permission. I would wait for her. I said, well, what about your daughter? Talk to your daughter about it. Why wouldn't you bring this up to your daughter and say, what can I do? How can I help? I'm your father. I love this granddaughter of mine. I want to be involved. He said, no, I would not speak into that relationship. I just wouldn't do it. And inside of me, I thought, you're a coward. You're a coward, and you are failing as a grandfather in your granddaughter's life and in your daughter's life. What a tragedy that you would stay on the sidelines in an impotent position to say, I can't and I won't speak into my daughter or my granddaughter's life because I haven't been invited to do so. Grandparents, you have a role to play. There's a stewardship that God has granted you the gift of having children and having grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that stewardship is not to stay on the sidelines. That stewardship is not to keep your hand over your mouth and say nothing until you're simply invited to. Now, of course, there are situations and circumstances that make what you say and how you say it and when you say it requiring great discernment and discretion. But there is much that is in your hands by God's design. There is much in the way of stewardship that is yours that requires much more than a fundamentally passive position. So of course we would say, through prayer and penance and reparation, through fasting and other spiritual means, we can win graces that will unbind and set them free, that will sever connections with bad influences. But we can also speak into our kids' lives to say, I'm here for you. How can I help you? I want to be involved. I want your daughter, my granddaughter, to be on a peaceful path. How can I be there? If I am here for you, what can I do to help? Making that offer is a minimum step that I really encourage you to take, especially if you come to find out that your grandchildren are on a destructive path and you have the awareness because of your faith of the one who is the answer, the one who is the path to healing and wholeness, the one who is the way and the truth and the life, Jesus Christ. So not only pray, but pray for open doors to speak in more forcefully, powerfully, with the light and the glory of Jesus Christ. Father Tom Forrest said, we will often face, in that talk I was listening to that day, he said, we'll often face situations that are impossible for us, but not impossible for God. And the way forward is to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. When we say, come, Holy Spirit, and the whole teaching is all about come, Holy Spirit, is what will release within us the gift of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance and insight and spiritual power that will break through humanly impossible tasks. Please call upon the Holy Spirit today for those situations that are humanly impossible for you. And thank you, God, for Father Tom Forrest. Thank you, God, for good friends. Thank you, God, for those influences that have strengthened us in living out our Catholic faith. And Lord, protect us from those influences that would sow seeds in our minds and hearts that would undermine, decay, or diminish or overthrow our beautiful, free Catholic way of living our lives.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
All right, so here I am on the Camino, day 12, during my second week. And it's a Sunday. I'm sharing with you the walk I took from Atapuerca to Burgos. Again, a beautiful walk. It was a sunny day. I walked the entire journey myself, which, again, it's interesting. There are two different kind of philosophies that I've bumped into. There are those that are like me that tend to prefer to walk alone, at least for some portion or maybe the majority of the actual walking. And then when you get to the end of your walking, that's when you move more towards a communal setting. One woman put it really clearly. She said, I walk fast. I walk by myself. I'm in my own head and I'm there to walk. And I'm not there to talk to anybody during my walking. You know, if I'm taking a break, I might chat with someone, but I really save the communal portion of the Camino to when I've reached the goal of the day, when I've reached the end of the day. I tend to have, again, a goal of, I'm here for a purpose. And the center of that purpose is around praying and doing penance for my family as a pilgrim. I'm there on behalf of them, for the sake of them, in the place of them, to win blessings of them, to receive guidance, provision, and protection in their spiritual lives and in the totality of their lives. So I'm really clear on that. And that means that I'm not a tourist. I'm not there to hang around and look for someone to chat with and just to enjoy my time. I have that sense of intentionality. And so walking by myself is not a burden. In fact, it's a gift. I had a chance to listen to another talk by Father Tom Forrest. So he was with me again, following up from that beautiful stewardship. And timing, God's timing. God does things with very beautiful timing. And I want to give you two examples of that. The first was the reality of going to Mass. It's a Sunday. And so my thought was, okay, I'm going to make it all the way to town in time to make it for their noon Mass. So I had kind of aligned things to make it for the noon Mass, and then I would be able to go to Mass, and then I would be able to get access to my hostel for that day. But I would only be able to access it, in the early mid-afternoon. Well, the way things unfolded, I was walking through a town. I stopped for a break right near a church. And as I was walking past the church, something just little inside of me said, go back and go to that church. Go back to that church. And I kept walking. And something insisted, like that little prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, who's in charge? If the Lord's in charge, then I'm going to go back. So I retraced my steps. It wasn't very far, 100 yards. Retraced my steps. I went to the door of the church. The church was locked, but it said 11:30 Mass. 11:30 Mass. And it was just after 11. And I thought, oh, this is really convenient timing. It's right on the path. Here's this church. If I'm willing to stick around for 15 or 20 minutes, I can rest a bit. I can prepare myself for Mass. And it was a small church. It wasn't a magnificent church. It was a tiny church in a tiny town. And I began to wonder whether, in fact, there was going to be Mass, because it was now 10 after, and there was one guy sticking around. I said, is there really Mass here at 11:30? He said, yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust you. Sure enough, he ends up leaving. And all of a sudden, this man comes walking up to the door at 11:20. It's 10 minutes. The door is still locked. I go walking up. Padre, Father. And he turns around. It's the priest. Sure enough, he's there for the 11:30 Mass, showing up at 11:20 to open the doors of the church. And no one else was waiting. And so I go in, and I'm the only one in the church until about 11:27. And all of a sudden, all the locals come scampering in. So there's one pilgrim, me, and then there's a bunch of locals that this is their little chapel and this is their Sunday Mass. The priest did an amazing job. He was truly engaged. He just wasn't checking the box. You think, oh, he gets there at 11:20, he's going to check the box and go on. No, he knew these people and he knew the Lord, and he wanted the Lord's word to reach these people. If you remember, last Sunday's gospel had to do with the story of Jesus. I think it's the Gospel of Luke, where he takes a man who's deaf and blind away from the crowd, and then he puts his fingers in his ears, right? And then spitting touches his tongue, and the man regains his hearing and his speech. And the gift that unfolded was the homily. And the essence of the homily that the priest said was very powerful. He said, the reason why we're hesitant to speak the word of God, the reason why we're hesitant to speak about the Lord to others, or to speak into other people's lives as influenced by the Lord, inspired by the Lord, is that we're deaf to his word. The reason we're mute is because we're deaf. And so the Lord doesn't first heal his muteness, but his deafness. If we're willing to allow the Lord to heal our deafness, if we're willing to allow the Lord's word to come into our lives and grants us the grace, we ask for the grace, Lord, give me the grace to hear your word, we will find that his word is also on our lips. Powerful, really powerful. It also manifested itself in a different way that same day, when early in that morning, when I woke up, I had a text message from a friend back home. And this friend is someone I've been helping in real estate. And he shared with me, hey, this little comment about something going on, and wanted to make sure, hey, how was I doing? And I ended up reaching out to him by phone. I had a little bit of time and reached out to him by phone, and he ended up calling me back and we started talking. And he started to share with me about a situation that was unfolding in his family's life. And I had been invited into this situation. And what I was hearing made me say, I must not be mute. I must speak into this situation in a way that I had spoken in previously and that he and his wife had received as a blessing and as a sign of what God's direction was for their lives. So I reminded him, I said, hey, do you remember those conversations? Do you remember the conclusions that you all had arrived at and you felt confident in and that this was the direction the Lord had for you? I said, do you see what's happening right now? Do you see how what's happening now is working against that? And that if you can recover that insight that you had previously, that in fact, that might be still the Lord's guidance for what you are to do right now in this new situation that had emerged that was a bit of a crisis for them. And he was, yes, that's right. I'm so grateful that we've had this conversation. I've heard again what you've said. Now I need to go speak this back to my wife so that we can recover that sense of peace and clarity and direction and move forward in right now in a way that will be in accord with what it was we had discerned. And so the mystery of being open to hear gives us the grace to speak. That was given to me in the moment. And then giving it to him, he recovered that hearing, and that gave him the courage to speak. And then come to find out later on, about a day later, he reached back out and said, thank you so much. It was exactly the word from the Lord that we needed to hear. Because we then recovered what we had lost. We had become deaf to it. And now that we had recovered our hearing, we knew how to speak into the moment that we were facing. And they took action that brought his family back to peace. Brothers and sisters, it is so important for us to be open to hear God's word. Those little promptings, the prompting that led me to stop, turn around, reverse direction, go back to the church and wait, trust. There's a reason why I'm supposed to be at that mass. That was the message that God gave to me that day, a powerful reminder that before we speak with the voice of God, with God's voice at work through ours, we must be available to listen to God's word. I encourage you in your prayer to have the scriptures, the Bible, where you take in God's word. In this particular instance, it was the Sunday reading. Read the Sunday readings. Use an aid to give you access to the Sunday readings, the daily readings. Let scripture penetrate your heart. Become more comfortable, more accompanied in your day-to-day life with the gift of the scriptures. And you'll find that your tongue will be loosened and that what you bring into situations won't simply be your nice thoughts, as good as they might be, but the wisdom that comes from God. For he does intend to use you in the situations and circumstances and relationships that he has you in, not me, he has you in them, to be a vessel of communication, to be useful in bringing God's word to people who have situations where it's harder for them to hear. It's harder for them to hear and to articulate what's happening. Trust that, in fact, the Lord will use you in the daily journey, in the Camino, on the way that is the way of your life. Pray for that gift and then take action, even if it means turning around. Hey, welcome to my day 13 reflection on walking the Camino. This is from Burgos to Castro Jerez, if I'm saying that correctly. Long walk. And what's happening is I'm starting to go a little bit longer, and I'm actually leaving behind the group that I launched with, right? So the
a lot of people will stay on the same stages, right? The same geographic path. And so they'll see the same group of people at the end of their walk during that day and then go on from there. I've been picking up my pace a bit now that I've got my health back, now that I'm moving into stages that are not nearly as challenging. At this point, I'm no longer walking with my ankle brace from when I dislocated it back on day three. I'm not wearing any of my compression socks for my calves or my knees. So at the beginning, I had literally six. I had double compression socks on my calves and compression socks, knee braces, and my ankle brace. So I'm practically I'm kind of taped together, right? So now I'm more of a, okay, I'm feeling healthier. The roads again are still now smoothing out more. Still there's some hills, and it was a long road. And at the end of that long road, got to a place to stay. It was actually quite beautiful and comfortable. And what was unique was that the owner of this hostel was blind, or very, very significantly vision impaired. And so he had to use some equipment, some special apps and equipment to be able to take in our information and to show us around. He was using a walking stick to get him to show us the different places. And, it took him longer to get through things, but he was able to get it done. He was, it was impressive what he was able to do as a blind man. That theme actually played a part in what happened next. There were a few other people that were staying in that same hostel with me. And right next door to us was a place to relax and get a beer and something to eat at the end of the long walk. And that's a pretty standard practice, okay? So you get up, you might have a coffee and something to eat at breakfast. You might stop in the middle of the day if it's a longer day and have some lunch, or again, a couple of snacks during a couple of breaks. And then when you get to the end of the day, one of the greatest enjoyments is just going, sitting down, having a nice big cold beer and something to munch on. And so that tends to be a setting for folks in a more relaxed, we've all just accomplished something that was maybe difficult, right? And it was hot and sunny and it was a long walk and it was tiring and here we are. Hey, can I join you? Yes. So I ended up joining this married couple, a little bit older than me, and one of their friends. Actually, the wife and her friend were my age, and the husband was a little bit older, and from Australia. Neat people. I tell you, Australians are incredibly friendly, really just open and friendly and engaging, enjoyable. And there was another woman that had come up, another American. We're not nearly as friendly. But she was fine, but she was hurting. She was just visibly, took 5 seconds to just read her and just say, oh, she's in a throbbing place of pain on this Camino journey, and could barely kind of get it out that she was there because of some recent tragedies that had reached her life. Didn't get into it with me. So most of the conversation was between the three of them and me. And the first, let's say, 45 minutes of it was really beautiful and enjoyable and powerful and life-giving, as we talked a bit about why we were there and what was the meaning of our Camino. And I talked a bit about my 10X life. That seemed to be a better fit for these folks who weren't really like fully engaged in the path of faith in their lives. But it eventually came around that, yeah, I'm very Catholic in how I'm living my life and what I'm doing with my life. And so then I was blind. Yeah, blindness reached me. I just actually failed. I think I failed. Who knows? Maybe God redeemed it. or was doing something there that was not an easy gift to give. But I tend to think more that I fell short of what God would have had me do. What had happened was, back in Burgos, there was a big cathedral, and they asked if I had a chance to go into it, and I didn't. I just saw the outside. I had walked a long way, I was tired, and I said, I'll get back to it, and I never did because I was just still recovering. Well, the two women started to talk about the negative impact of the statuary, of the sarcophagi, the tombs, the paintings and imagery that were all over this cathedral. And they described it as indicative of and confirming of the patriarchal negative approach to authority, the negative place that the diminished and dismissed place that women have in the Catholic world, and the overarching emphasis on shame and sin and death. And are we really that surprised? Well, I was just a little bit taken aback by that. And then they wanted my, you know, what were your thoughts on it? Well, I unfortunately was like, I'm so clever and I'm so good at dialogue that I can gently and easily show these people that, you know what, your approach to these things is lacking. It's really not appropriate, and your positions are, in fact, incorrect. And conversation did not go well. I tried to make it more personal. I tried to, the one woman was like, I've had all these negative experiences with the church. I said, please, on behalf of the church, I'm so sorry. And then they attacked me for doing that. And then I tried to say, hey, I'm here to like walk as a pilgrim. I'm doing this for my own family, that there's spiritual good that's coming to my family by my penance. It's going to free up my kids and bring blessings to their lives. And they're like, that's just naive. That's not the way things happen. I'm just like, okay. Oh, so I didn't like being called naive. I did not. By someone who's not practicing her Catholic faith and who is absolutely convinced about the rightness of her own stance, about the negative way that women are treated and seen in the Catholic faith. And I decided, you know, I'm going to push back as hard to you in the statements that you've just said to me. The statements you've said to me are, frankly, so offensive and demeaning and belittling, and no sense of openness to inquire. Tell me more. What might that mean? Huh, that's different than I would have thought. That's new to me. I really want to hear more of what you're saying. That I thought, you know what? I'm going to speak back to you exactly the way you just spoke to me. Didn't work. No converts. All of the beautiful goodwill, the beautiful sense of, oh, we enjoy this guy, Tom. He's a great guy to talk to. He's someone that makes us want to just be open to maybe the Catholic faith in a new way because of all the goodwill that came from that really interesting conversations we were having. Just drained out of the room, just out of the open air restaurant. It got bad. At one point, they were saying, you know, you have this negative impression and women here are just kept down and beaten down. And I just said, I'll tell you what, I'll take my four oldest daughters that are there and I'll just have them sit on this little couch on this other part of this restaurant that are here. And you know what they would say to you? They go into these Catholic schools and they've lived their Catholic life. They'd say, we feel really sad for you because that's not our experience at all. We feel tremendous dignity and celebrated and advanced as women. And we just really feel sad for you and we pray for you. How do you think that went over? Oh, they were fuming. Oh, terrible. So later that night, I was talking to Carrie, See, Carrie, I got to tell you about this conversation. And I just shared it kind of like I shared with you. She said, Tom, are you a knucklehead? She said, why would you do that? You know, you're not going to change anybody's mind. You're not going to like convince them that, oh, you finally said it in a way that I understand. I am so wrong. All you had to do is to say, you know, I completely understand what you're saying. And he's like, that's not the reason I'm Catholic. I'm Catholic because of the love of Jesus that I encounter there. It's because of him that I meet. And it's his love that I meet. And I did, that's what I want for you. And I thought, why aren't you here with me? Why aren't you here with me on this Camino? I really could have used you here. And you'll find out tomorrow when I share with you the incredible blessing that happened as a result of my failure, as a result of the approach I took, the explosive failure that it had, and then my conversation with Carrie that gave me the antidote or the difference that I could use going forward. And I have in the positive impact, you'll find out in a couple of conversations tomorrow and in a couple of days to come. But the total story with these folks is not over yet. And it's kind of neat because God did give me a chance to redeem what happened in this relationship. And I can tell you how now. I'll at least give you the preview of it. So we were staying in these rooms in this hotel. The next day, we both traveled to the same town, you know, 15 miles or so away. And we end up being in the same hotel. In the previous hotel, we were in the same hotel right across the hall from each other. The next day, we were in the same hotel in another city, in the room right across from each other. Unbelievable. They laughed. I can't believe it. And they said, this is unbelievable. And then they said, where are you staying tomorrow? I said, well, I just booked it. There's no way we're in the same place because I'm in this place. It's a big city with dozens of places to stay. I said, I'm in a hotel that has a pool on the roof. And they exploded with laughter. You're kidding me. That's where we're staying too. And so God's hand was on this. God knew that I would have multiple chances and that it's going to come back to play in 2 days. So stay tuned because there is a part two to this story of a failure and you'll see it redeemed tomorrow. So, final word. When we encounter people who have a personal history that has led to negative ways of seeing the church, and negative attitudes that flow from that way of seeing it. Don't imagine that you are the angel sent from God to bring them special knowledge that's going to somehow disentangle and unwind the attitudes and the framework that is deeply embedded in them, their mindset. It takes a conversion of mindset, a grace of interior metanoia, a change of mind. And that's a gift that comes from God. And it's a gift I'm praying for in their regard. And so we have to be more humble to meet people where they're at and to begin to walk with them, but to walk with them in a place that just might be disarming and just might actually open a door for a powerful encounter with God. And that's what you're going to hear about tomorrow. God bless.